Lamentations chapter 3. As you know, those of you that kind of hung in here with us, Lamentations kind of a downside. That's a little more difficult to get through than some of the books. And if you'll take a look around, you'll see some couldn't deal with it three straight weeks in a row. That happens because Lamentations is kind of sad. And Lamentations is called Lamentations because there are lamentations. Okay, got it? In other words, his heart's breaking and he's writing it down. It's not a real positive in your life. And people say, whew, that's negative. What are we going to start next? Call me. Okay, I will. Jeremiah's heartbroken. Jerusalem has been destroyed, completely overrun and destroyed. The temple is gone. Everything is crushed. Most of the people have been put to death. Some have been taken into captivity. And that's what chapters 1 and 2 are lamenting. And chapter 3 continues on. Jeremiah speaking, he says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me, all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. Once again, Jeremiah is letting you know, this is how I feel. Jeremiah is saying, just like this great city has been crushed and destroyed, he says, I feel that my own life has been crushed and destroyed as well. I've seen many troubles, Jeremiah says. Many troubles over the years. Jeremiah has been in the ministry for a long time now. And when you're in ministry, you know, what you deal with is people. If you don't like people, don't go in the ministry. You know, we have people tell me quite often, guys will say, you know, I really want to serve, but I just don't like men. I have women tell me, I want to do something, but you know, don't make me do anything with women, because I just don't like women. I don't want to be around them. And I think, you know, we don't, that's not serving. Lord, I'm yours, but I won't clean windows. And I certainly am not going to pray with other women or men or children or adults. Are you sure you feel called to ministry? Are you sure? Because what ministry is people. What ministry does is it beats you senseless. That's what Jeremiah is saying. And it does. It can. Not only is it, have I seen troubles over the years that I've been in ministry, he says, but my health has been ruined by this. My health has been wrecked because of my concern for God's people. His own physical health is gone from this. Well, you know, he was put in prison a lot. He was left down there in those wet dungeon areas. You know, maybe he got, I don't know, as he got old, maybe arthritis. Maybe, who knows? When you get broken bones, sometimes they don't set quite right, or sometimes the weather bothers them. And you see, he'd been through a lot. The Apostle Paul said the same idea. He wasn't complaining, but he said, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. In other words, I serve him. I've been in the ministry a long time now, and I've got the wounds and the scars. Some of them are emotional, some of them are physical, to prove that I've been doing this a long time. Jeremiah says, just like the city of Jerusalem, I've been crushed. My bones are broken. My physical health is kind of wrecked up. You notice something about Jeremiah? He could run around and say to everybody else, I told you, didn't I tell you, I told you, ha ha ha, look at you, you're getting just what you deserve, don't come, if you break your legs, don't come running to me. Well, you guys are with it. I know. He didn't do that, you guys. Listen, he didn't say, I told you this is going to happen. What are you whining about now? What do you deserve this? Notice, he says, I am so sorry that this had to happen. This is crushing me like it's crushed all of you. Notice the difference in heart from someone who is humble and realizes he's just as much a sinner as everybody else. Notice the difference. Amazing. He didn't run around telling people, I told you so. I told you it's going to happen. No, he genuinely was heartbroken and concerned for the people that actually remained. Some went into captivity, and he said, I am so sorry that they're there. I'm sorry that this even had to happen. And now, he says, my own body is paying the price for it. Instead of saying, that's what you get, that's what you deserve, he's saying, Lord, this breaks my heart. Lord, you're crushing me here. And I think, as we read those first four verses, I think not only do we see his response, not only are we really seeing Jeremiah's response, and it's emotional, it's mental, it's physical. Not only are we seeing his response, I think what he's showing us is literally God's response to this whole thing. I think what you're seeing is God isn't looking at his people saying, see, man, you guys made me mad. You pushed me to the limit. You ticked me off. You deserve this. Now, that's not what you're seeing. What you're seeing, I think, is God weeping, hating to have to go ahead and keep his promise. I promise you, if you turn your back, I will take this land away from you. You know, maybe you don't. I hope you don't. But some have a picture of God like he can't wait to get his hands on those that are real jerks. Oh, he's trying to be patient. He's trying to hold himself back. But he can't wait to get them. And that's how some people see God. And that's why they're afraid of him. The Bible clearly teaches the opposite. That the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he is merciful. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge. Now look at us, on the other hand. I hope God gives you what you deserve. I tried to warn you. You're starting to hear that coming out of Christians, loving, ministering Christians. You're going to get it, and I hope I'm around to see it. And you think, okay, that's not what Jeremiah is saying here. Jeremiah is saying, my own physical health is affected by this. This breaks my heart. I mean, my health is ruined over the fact that I've spent so much time in this ministry. And look now. That's what he's saying, everybody. So again, simply put, what a lesson for me and for you. Realizing that God is not quick to send down wrath. God is not quick to send down crushing judgment. He is slow to anger. He's merciful. He wants everyone to wise up. So if you catch yourself hoping that some people don't wise up and hoping they get what they've got coming to them, you realize you're not quite thinking like the Lord. You and I aren't quite, we don't have the heart yet. There's a heart that needs to say, forgive them, they don't know what they do. Stephen, so Jesus from the cross, Paul, Stephen, and the list will go on and on and on. Look at verse 5. He has builded against me and surrounded me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He's saying here, that the outward destruction that you see was kind of matched by the inward pain that he's feeling. Not only did the enemy surround and crush, but he says, I feel kind of surrounded myself in pain and in suffering because of this whole ordeal. He hath hedged me about. That's like building kind of a wall surrounding, same idea, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy, verse 7 says. Also, when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with cut stone, hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. Jeremiah says it again. I'm surrounded. Even now, after this destruction, I feel just spiritually crushed and surrounded. And there seems to be no way out of this whole mess. The city's gone. The temple is gone. The people are destroyed. Some have been taken into captivity. And as Jeremiah sat there weeping, and you see the smoke rising, he says, I can't see a way out from this pain, out from all this suffering. I can't see a way out. Lord, you've surrounded me with it. I can't get away from it. And then he says, it seems like when I pray, you don't hear me anymore. The way he says it, I'll read you the verse. He says it, verse 8, when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayers. Now, I know, Christian, you've never felt that way, have you? It seems like you're surrounded. It seems like everything's happening all at once. You have no answers. There seems to be no one who has answers. And you keep praying, and it seems like the prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. You know, the heavens, what's the old saying, have become like brass, and the prayers don't seem to be getting through. Or if they're getting through, it's almost like God is either ignoring them or can't hear it at all. Something's wrong. You ever felt that way? I'm surrounded here. Things are falling apart. I'm losing this. I'm losing health. Things are all wrong. And when I cry out to God, it's like the prayers bounce off. They're not getting to Him. He says, that's what I feel like. How many times have you felt that way? I'm praying. But it seems like the Lord's not hearing. Seems like nothing's being accomplished. Nothing's happening. Seems like I'm surrounded and there's no way out of this at all. Well, when you feel that way, as Jeremiah feels that way, he's going to come to it in a little bit, but let's come to it now, you and I. When you begin to think that way, you stop and you remember what God's Word says. You just stop because whatever something feels like doesn't matter. I know that's hard for you and I to grasp because that's how we've been built. Everything's supposedly our emotions. How do you feel about that? I mean, how do you feel when someone spits in your face? How does it make you feel when you... Listen, Psalm 34. I'll start in verse 15, read through verse 19. Psalm 34, starting in verse 15, going through verse 19. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Who are the righteous? Well, if you are a Christian, you are one of the righteous. How did you get that way? Through no fault of your own. Only through Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. By grace, through faith, you have now the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. So you are the righteous if you're born again. If you're not, this doesn't include you. If you're not, this promise isn't to you. If you're truly born again, then you and I are righteous in Jesus Christ. So look, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Who's God looking at right now? You! Are you surprised? Doesn't feel like it, does it? Feels like He hadn't paid attention to you in a long time now. I'm losing my business. I'm losing my family. I'm losing my house. I'm losing my mind, Lord. Are you sure you're paying attention over here? And he says this, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Have you cried out to the Lord lately? Because He's looking at you, and His ears are open to what you've got to say. The face of the Lord, on the other hand, is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord listens. I'll read it again. The righteous cry, that means they cry out or they call out to God, and the Lord hears, literally, and the Lord listens and delivers them out of all their troubles. So you might as well, if you're an underliner, and you're saying, underline all, because it's an easy word to understand. He delivers you and I from how many of our troubles? All of them, to include the one right now that you say He's doing nothing about. He's not listening. It's not changing. Everything's bad. But He said, no, His eyes are on the righteous, and his ears are wide open to your cry, and he delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart. This is verse 18. And he saves such as be of a contrite spirit. So how's your heart? Where's your heart? Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. So we might as well go ahead and underline that too. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Who's writing this? King David. While he's hiding for over 10 years, every day of his life, thinking this is going to be my last day on earth. Saul's going to find me. He's going to kill me. I know it's going to happen. I just know it is. I can't hide much longer. And he's figuring out some of my hiding places. I got to try and find new ones. I'm running out of hope. I'm running out of energy. I'm running out of great ideas. I'm going to die. Saul's going to get me. What does David pen? And this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord listens. He delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I like that. Hebrews 13:5, probably a verse that you have memorized. If you don't have it memorized, it's very common to you. It's when you hear it, you go, oh yeah, I've heard that a lot. Hebrews 13:5, let your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So his eyes are on you. His ears are open to listen to your cry, and he is with you all the time. Jesus said, I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. Never. Yeah, but something's going on right now. I'm completely surrounded. That's what Jeremiah is saying. I feel my health is gone from this. I am surrounded. And there is no way out, and it seems like my prayers, you're shutting them out. And God says, you may feel that way, Jeremiah, but that's a feeling. This feeling will pass. It will be different on a day when somebody says, here's 10 bucks. You go, oh, well, I feel better now. And so that's why when people ask you, let's talk about salvation. How do you feel about that? You look at them and say, that's so stupid. How I feel about it now is different than I felt about it yesterday. Because today I had chocolate. So I'm thinking salvation is really great, man. Chocolate is a good antioxidant, too. We all know that. So I'm feeling great about it. And then you hear you're going to be laid off. Hey, man, how do you feel about life that God's given you? I am bummed, man, because I hear there's a layoff coming and I'm sure they're going to get rid of me. And then they don't get rid of you. How you do it? Oh, man, God is good. Your feelings are just wearing us out, buddy. I mean, you're up 1 minute, down the next, over on third base. Who's there? No, that's first base. And we're all confused. It's out of control. So Jeremiah is going to have to remind himself, because of the way he's feeling about what God says. I did it early. I cheated. I remind you what God said, because I could see that you were getting bummed. You're going, yeah. I feel that way. God doesn't, yeah, he shut out my prayers. Yeah, I feel that way. I mean, I feel helpless. There's no way this is going to work out. It's impossible for this to ever turn out good. I've heard people say it quite a bit. Nothing good could come from this, when God's word specifically said, God can work all things for good to those that love him. Those are called according to his purpose. And for a Christian to say nothing good could come from this, that frightens me, because I think God says those that love me, those that are called by me, I work it for good. So you don't take this feeling that you've got, this emotion that's leading you on. You say, but God says just the opposite. Verse 10. He was, speaking about Jeremiah, speaking about the Lord still, he was as unto me as a bear, lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He's made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my body, into my reins. His arrows have pierced me. He says, you know how I'm feeling? God is like an angry bear. You don't mess with an angry bear. You don't want to do that. Like a hungry lion hiding in the secret places. Jeremiah says, I feel like God is using me for target practice. He's shooting his arrows just to make sure he's good at it, and they're all hitting me. God's using me for target. That's how Jeremiah feels because of all that's been going on. Hey, he's been in ministry a long time. After you've been in ministry for a while, you might feel the same way too. How many men and women in ministry have we seen over the last 26 or 27 years in ministry? How many have we seen give up, quit, walk away, saying, this is just too hard. Nobody said that it was going to be like this. Of course, we would remind the Bible college students to watch episodes of Super Chicken. Many of you probably don't remember Super Chicken. But he had a sidekick that was kind of dumb named Fred. And he had a line that I think every person in ministry should quote. Because Fred said, gee, Super Chicken, this is dangerous. We better get out of here. And Super Chicken would say, you can't do that. And besides, you knew the job was dangerous when you took it. Everybody entering into ministry should sit down and count the cost. You should have known the job was dangerous when you took it. You should have known the things that waited for you. He says, Ananias, go to Paul, or Saul, because he's having a vision right now. He's seeing a vision of a guy named Ananias coming and laying hands on him. He'll receive his sight. Go and pray for him and let him receive his sight. And I will tell him the things he has to suffer for me. Jeremiah says, this is some suffering. Lord, this is hard. It's like I'm the punching bag here. I'm the target for your arrows. This is hard. Verse 14. I was a derision to all my people and their song all day. Can you imagine? Jeremiah, you remember the messages that he preached, and the people laughed at him. And the people made up songs about him. You turn the radio on and there'd be a song mocking Jeremiah. You know, Weird Al, the Jewish person over there, Weird Al of their day, would just make mockery of Jeremiah and his messages. And he says, they're laughing at me. I'm trying to preach the Word of God, and they're falling asleep. They're bored. They're laughing. They're making funny songs about me. The kids are singing songs about me, he says. Verse 15, he hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He's covered me with ashes. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. All those years of preaching. He started at around 20 to 21 years old. He was still preaching into his 60s. And he goes, this has been hard. And now look, all the things that he preached, those sermons that he preached, nobody listened. The city is completely destroyed. It's taking a toll on his physical body. It's taking a toll on his mind. It's taking a toll on his emotions. This is a broken man here. And he says, all that time I was preaching, I was a joke to everybody else. You know, Noah, all the time he was preaching, the Bible says for 120 years he preached about. All that time he was preaching, people laughed at him, made fun of him. The people that were doing the Tonight Show and Saturday Night Live way back then when Noah was alive, they were all using him for their jokes, for all the funny things that they were doing. That's what Jeremiah says, same thing. all the time I've been preaching, I was a joke to the people. He says, my friends, my family, they laughed at me. You remember that? His family laughed at him, didn't want him around. His friends mocked him, wanted to put him to death. He says, I've been trampled underfoot. In other words, literally, I've been walked on. People have walked all over me. I've been deprived of my own peace, my own prosperity, and I have been led to despair. What an interesting concept coming from this man of God. That's where I find myself. Given up. That's what he means in verse 18 when he says, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. I've been brought to despair. Verse 19, remembering mine affliction and mine misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. He's basically saying, I'm on the brink of giving up. I've gone the distance. I'm worn out. Physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually, he says, I'm about to the point where I'm ready to despair, to just give up. But verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Now listen to that. That amazes me. There's our lesson that I mentioned it earlier on. No matter how he's feeling, he says, even in my own mind, as I'm on the brink of giving up, complete despair, he says this. This one thought crowded out all that emotion. This one thought, all the hopelessness that I was feeling, one thought got rid of it, crowded it out. I was beginning to feel literally overwhelmed with hopelessness and with a heart that says, what's the use? What is the use? And I give up. And I tell you, I know that you've probably seen men and women, young people and old, is like give up, quit, walk off. Just drop their hands and say, that's it. I'm going to go get a regular job. I'm going to stop this because I'm a joke to everybody else. I'm going to quit it because people are literally walking all over you. Sometimes in front of your face, but mostly behind your back. And Jeremiah says, this one thought crowded out all that despair, all that emotion. One thought kept me from the brink of giving up. What's that one thought? He says, this one thought recalled to my mind, and this gives me hope. Here it is, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassion never fails. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Have you been close to it? Have you been close to that point where your emotions, your physical body, your mental stability, everything, even spiritually, you're saying, I'm worn out. I don't think he's hearing. I'm surrounded. There's no way out of this. I am ready to give up. I'm just going to walk away from this and go do something normal like everybody else. Ever felt that way, Christian? Because even your friends are laughing at you. No matter how hard you try, others continue to keep you down because of it. This one thought. This is the one thought that drove all that from his heart. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we, including himself, God's people, including Jeremiah, that we are not completely consumed. It is God's mercy that some of us are still standing, is what Jeremiah is saying. Many were killed, but some have taken into captivity. And even though they're not here in their homeland, they are over there, they are still alive, and they still belong to the Lord, even though they live now in Babylon, land of the Chaldeans. So he says, is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not completely consumed. In other words, this could have been worse than it is right now. You hear that? You say, it's bad. Jeremiah would look at you and say, think about God. Take a look around you. It could have been worse than this. It could have been worse. I've been told, if you really think you've got it bad, just look around the rest of the world and see how badly some people really have it, and then you'll think, oh, I need to straighten up. We've got it easy. The poorest of our poor in this country have got it made compared to much of the rest of the world. And you say, I don't like being the poorest of the poor. There are worse things. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not completely consumed. I have a statement written here in the Bible. When your tomorrow looks so dark that you are literally afraid of it, stop and remember God's mercies, God's kindness, God's goodness, God's promise. And tomorrow's become yesterday's. And what that means, that's an old saying. Almost all tomorrow's become yesterday's. What that means is, this isn't always going to be this way. It is not always going to be this way. If you're thinking it's hot now, don't jump too quickly. Because of the old cliche that says you could jump out of the frying pan and into something that's a lot hotter. Don't be so quick. You know, tomorrow's become yesterday's. They're going to be behind you now. These things are going to be behind you. It's not always going to be like it is right now. We tell young mothers that when they have little bitty children. We say, they won't always be this little. Don't panic. They'll get bigger. It'll be worse. But you'll feel better for a moment. The thing that you thought that was going to completely destroy you, the thing that you thought is really, this one is going to really crush me, this is going to be the final blow, you look back. And it really didn't, did it? Oh, it was hard, and you thinking, I wouldn't want to go through that again, but it didn't completely crush you or destroy you, did it? How do I know? Well, look at you, you're here. It is because of God's mercies that we are not completely consumed. It's that one thought that drives away all this other despair. You know what? God's been good to me. That's what he's saying. Because of God's mercies, literally meaning his great love, his kindness to us, because of that, we are not completely destroyed or completely consumed away and gone. Because God's compassions never fail. Literally, they don't get weak. They don't ever stop. Literally, they never are finished or complete. Did you hear that? God's mercies are never finished. God's mercy is never complete. And by that, I mean, it's not, when I say complete, don't think of it, it doesn't encompass everything. Think of it never quits. It's never finished. It never ends. That's exactly what he's saying. God's mercies don't ever end. You know, you can never hear, and you will never hear God say, that's all the compassion I have, there is no more. You'll never hear him say that if you would cry out and say, I humble myself, I want to come home. I want to come back. I've been a fool. You will never hear God say, that was your last chance last Thursday. That was all the compassion I had. I ran out. You're the first one ever I've ever run out with, but it happened. You're never going to hear him say that. It's this one thought that drives away all the despair. It's because of his mercies that we're still here. Because his compassions, they never fail. God's compassions never fail. And they start out brand new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. That's great. Think about that. Because we could have exhausted them today. I mean, we're near the end of the day, and you could be going, whoo, I can't wait to get out of this day. start another one. When you start another one, God's mercy starts all over again. It's fresh. It's brand new. What a great thing. Jeremiah is saying this, Judah may be down, but they're not out. Israel, they may be struggling, they are not finished. God's people may lose the battle, but they will win the war. Make sense? I mean, you and I know, because of our own weaknesses, because of our own attitudes, whatever, we've probably lost some battles in our lives, haven't we? We belong to the Lord, but we still lost battles. But you see, we have the victory. This war has already been won. We're going to win this war. That's what Jeremiah is saying. The victory is guaranteed. God did not punish his people completely for their sin. In other words, he did not kill them all, wipe them all gone. And he promised that he never would. It was God's judgment, but notice he still loved them. You hear that? This was God's judgment. He said, I will judge. I will do this. If you turn your back, remember all the warnings that they got in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, throughout the years that they were in the promised land, after they entered in, after the book of Deuteronomy, throughout the years, God would warn them, well, if you turn your back, if you disobey, I will take you out of the land. I will take the land away from you, and I will crush you, but I will not completely destroy you. That was the promise. And God didn't. He still loved his people. He sent judgment upon them, but he did not reject them. Now, can you comprehend that? We need to get that in our hearts. God sent judgment upon his people, but he never rejected them. They were still his people. He said, even in Babylon, I will be your God. You will be my people. I'll bring you back to the land. God didn't reject his people. Could Israel or Judah, that's the south and north, the entire land, Israel was the north, Judah the south, could either Israel or Judah have pushed God so far that he would finally have abandoned them forever? Could they have done that? Could the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom have rebelled so greatly and pushed God so far that at one point he would have abandoned them forever? They couldn't do it. How come? Because his compassion never ends. His mercies are brand new each and every day. The first day in captivity, they could be saying, I don't think God loves us anymore. And God would be having mercy and compassion right there in Babylon on his people. And so Jeremiah basically cries out in worship. What does he cry out? Great is thy faithfulness. Your compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Oh God, your faithfulness is so great. God is faithful. We are not. We are weak. We are confused. We are unstable. God is not any of those things. He's faithful. He's faithful through everything. But he goes on. He doesn't stop there. Look at how it continues. After he says in verse 23 about his compassion and his mercy, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful. God will remain faithful. So he goes on to say this, verse 24, the Lord is my portion. That's what my soul says. Therefore, I won't give up. I won't despair. I've got hope. I will hope in him. The Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, he is what I get in this life. He is my portion. Your soul, my soul, Jeremiah's soul, our souls say, God is merciful every morning. His mercies, compassions never end. They're brand new. He is faithful to us. So, we think about this. The Lord is my portion. The word portion literally means he's my share. He's my part. He's my reward. He's my possession. And another word you could use, if you like, is my allowance. He's what I get. He's my ration. Everybody else in the world, they're after this, they're after that. Everybody else in the world, they say, we're getting this, we're getting that. You and I go, you know what I get? God. The Lord is my portion. In this life and in the life that is to come, the Lord is my portion. What's He like? He's merciful, He's kind, He's patient. His compassions don't fail. They never end, they never stop. His mercies, His compassions are brand new each and every day. He is faithful. I can count on Him. I can trust in Him. I can look to Him. I can hope in Him. I can rest in Him. I can hide in Him. I can know that He will deliver me. And because He is my portion, He says, I've got nothing to be afraid of. Even though I feel that feeling of giving up in despair, I won't do that, He says. Why? God's my portion. You look around and your city's completely gone. It's up in flames. All you have is basically what you're wearing. You're sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, where do I go from here? And Jeremiah says, you know what? Not a problem. God is my portion. The Lord is my portion. He's what I got. I've got nothing to fear. I'll hope in Him. I'll wait on Him. I will rest in the fact that He's going to take care of it. Isn't that amazing? The good news right in the middle. Not quite in the middle, but right near the center of the book of Lamentations, where He's going over all of this ugliness. He says, and this one thought drives it all the despair away. That it is God's mercy that I'm sitting here right now, Jeremiah says, even looking at the city. It's His mercy that we're not consumed. He promised me He'd bring them all back to the land. He promised me that, and I bought that property in prison. Remember that when Jeremiah bought that property? Because God said, you're going to show everybody. You're coming back. Jeremiah says, I own property here in this land. It's completely wasted. Oh, but it won't be. Got some land over there. God promised. And God promised you the same thing. So as you're going through, maybe your emotions are telling you to panic, to give up. Maybe your health is not real solid and you're saying, man, my health is gone. My attitude is in the trash. My mental stability is in question. Spiritually, I'm crushing down at the bottom. People are walking all over me. But this one thought, you know what? It's God's mercy that I'm still here. It's God's mercy, and His mercies never fail. His compassions don't fail. They're new every morning. And He is faithful. This is what He promised. And it's the psalmist remembers. And so we can stop with this verse. Psalm 138, verse 8. We read this, the Lord will perfect. That means bring to completion or perform completely. The Lord will bring to completion or perform completely that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. Don't give up on me, God. You made me. Don't give up on me. That's what he's saying. The Lord will bring to completion that which concerns me. So let me ask you, what concerns you? I'd say eternal life concerns you. I'd say some of you are saying we're still praying because we can't find work. I'd say that concerns you. Then the Bible, and I say the Bible says God will bring that to completion or to perform it completely. I think God will take care of it. In other words, what he's saying is everything that concerns me, the Lord's going to take care of. Now, that's just such a nice verse to memorize. It's a nice verse to say. You can repeat it over and over. Just like you repeat any mantra over and over. You can get a parrot to say it. But there's a difference between saying it and living it. James says, be doers of God's word, not just hearers only. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. So now we walk that way. We live that way. we stand on the promises that way in faith. Walking by faith, not by sight. I know God will provide. I know God will deliver. I know God will strengthen. I know God will handle this. I know that even though I think, oh no, this is a biggie, God is still going to take care of it. There is no need for us to panic. In all the things that we do, God is in control. Jeremiah says, this one thought pushes out all that despair. It is because of God's mercies that we're still here today. And He's still working, and He's promised, and He's going to keep His promise. He will perfect everything that concerns you and me. Let's bow our heads together.